Away from your radio? Listen to 1010XL on the 1010XL app, a free download for all smartphone users, or say, Alexa, open 1010XL.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
We go out there and we're not ready to be out there, and we have injuries. Well, we've seen what that has done to this team. So, you know, availability and coachability are things that you've heard me talk about before. So that's important. And, you know, those things have went into some of the changes that I've made with some of the scheduling, you know, how we do things and how we build up.
Every opportunity is precious. You know, I think the biggest thing is just taking each and every day, you know, with the mentality of just what we need to do for today to get better.
They're going to make the best decision for this team.
We fell into the trap of looking forward and what could happen. You know, we kind of, you know, I think the biggest thing I would like us to do is just stay focused in the moment, figuring out what we can do today in this moment to be the best we can do.
The goal is to get, you know, everything down this time of year. You know, it was a 10-week program, and then you get that break so you can sort of fine-tune it and review it so you get ready for training camp. But the goal is to get everything down this time of year. And then, you know, you'll probably do a similar install during training camp. And then once the season starts, that's where, like, the game planning changes a little bit.
Live from TIAA Bank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, good morning, everybody. What day is it, Tony? I totally lost track. It's Thursday. Kind of feels like I don't really know what day it feels
like.
Yeah,
it's Thursday.
I've been the most sporadic radio show host in Jacksonville for the last couple of weeks. But I'm back here today, and it's State of the Franchise Day.
It is.
Tony, I want to know, E.T., that sounds like a version of the Mission Impossible theme that
you
used.
That was Limp Bizkit from Mission Impossible 2.
Oh, is that the Limp Bizkit version?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Are you trying to send a message?
Hey, man, State of the Franchise Day, man.
I understand, but are you saying it's Mission Impossible? We can't.
No,
we have no chance?
No,
what are you trying to say?
No, we're on a mission. We're on a mission.
That mission, however, is impossible, right?
I mean, you can look at it and say they always get it done.
They do.
They always come through.
That's true. If
no matter how difficult the task,
Would last year be a case of them not choosing to accept the mission?
Yeah, that one they didn't get the case closed before it blew up in their face.
The mission was week two, right? Super Bowl in week two,
yeah.
Unfortunately, for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tony, I don't know. We all knew who they were going to play.
Yes.
You know the games years in advance now, with the exception of a couple of teams. The only thing you don't know is where you finish in your division will dictate the final two games. You'll play conference opponents who finished in
Bengals
similar
and the Jets,
positions.
Right. Who they happen to play in back-to-back weeks.
Those are the only ones you didn't know prior to the end of the season. Yep. Once the end of the season comes, you know everybody. You know who you're going to play. Yet, you see it on paper and you're like, oh, man, really? Patrick Mahomes right out of the gates?
Yeah.
You know, look, Patrick Mahomes, maybe that's what everyone's going to be thinking. Maybe the Jaguars are going to say, you know what? He should be thinking Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Boye right out of the gates. We'll see.
And whatever's going to be happening with Tyreek Hill.
That's the big thing, right?
Right.
If anything is going to be happening with Tyreek Hill, I'm a man who said it many times, Tony. People always say, I want to beat a team at their best. Well, sure. But I want to beat a team.
Just win.
Period. Right? So if I'd rather beat you at your worst or less than 100% than lose to you at your best. I don't care. I want the end result. I want the win. I want the W. They could beat the Chiefs in week one. I don't think we're going to be, at least at this point of the offseason, too many people picking them. They, you know, they're going to be one of the darlings of the AFC, certainly. I think they're going to be a popular Super Bowl pick this year. But we got a lot of issues on the defensive side of the football themselves. So Leonard Fournette should be as healthy as he's going to be all year, knock on wood. Run it right down their throats in week one, Tony.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Look, I'm kind of right there with you. We knew, like you said, who they're going to play. We didn't know the order of that they were going to play them in. And I think it comes down for me to when they sign Nick Foles and you talk about the boost in confidence maybe it gives this team, you know, a defense that was having to deal with what was going on with Bortles and the offensive line. Everything that offensively was so bad for this football team last year, when they sign Foles, it's like, okay, but I believe that only lasts as long as you can get off to a good start. And I don't know what it looks like if you're week five and you're 1-3.
Right.
Or you're 0-4 and you had to deal with what you had to deal with last season. Like, because for a lot of the guys in that locker room, it will be compounded if they happen to get off to that kind of start. And I was like, well, then they just can't get off to that kind of start. And then the schedule comes out and you're like, oh.
Huh.
Oh.
Kansas City. Oh, then let's take a little trip to Houston.
Yeah, Kansas City and then at Houston and then Tennessee.
On Thursday night, who always seems to beat the Jags in that situation.
They haven't been able to score against them basically in two seasons. And then you go to Denver. I mean, really.
Right. You know, it's a long road trip. It's not like Denver, I don't think, is a world beater team. But
no, but I think it's still a tough place to go win a football game, right?
Sure it is.
And it's a Jaguars team that hasn't done well on long road trips historically. That's just not been who they are outside of a certain playoff trip back in 1996.
Although they did have those, about 10 years or so ago, they had those back-to-back years. They went into Denver and kicked some Bronco tail.
Sure.
You know?
But I think it was seeing it. And with the idea in my head, and it's been there since they signed Foles, all right, they got to get off to a quick start. And it's like, ooh, where's the quick start here?
Hey, you know what? Beat the Chiefs. And then that could be the thing. You beat the Chiefs. Look, you're going to have to play your division teams anyway, right?
Whether sure.
Some early, some late. But you beat the Chiefs. All of a sudden, you've knocked off maybe one of the toughest handful of opponents on your schedule, right? So
maybe
you can look at
toughest.
It that way.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe the toughest. You got the Saints. You got the Chargers.
Sure.
I mean, the Colts. Could be very good. The Texans could be very good. As we said, the Titans always play them tough. You don't know who else is going to be good. You really don't, right?
No.
The Jets could be really good this year if things fall into place with Sam Darnold. Cincinnati is usually very competitive, if not, you know, world beaters.
Right.
You know, they're not a slouch team, particularly if A.J. Green is healthy this season. We'll see. So, look, on paper, we knew it was one of the tougher schedules anyway, just based on teams' records last year. A lot of that has to do with the fact that the AFC South was very competitive, and those six games are all against teams that were, you know, good or better than 500. You know, there are no slouches in the bunch, at least coming off of last season.
No, there really aren't. And again, seeing it on paper was with this idea of quick starts going to be vitally important for this team. It's going to be vitally important. And to get themselves into the season, we talked about it last year, but that was a team we all had Super Bowl expectations for.
That's right.
You know, this year it's can they get back to being a playoff contender? And I think that first month of the season is vital for them to put themselves in that kind of position, especially with those middle two divisional games. I think finding some way to at least split that and split the other two outside of it with Kansas City and Denver. Look, you come out of that 2-2, I think you're feeling all right. About where the Jags are in the 2019 season.
Right now.
I'd sign up for 2-2 right now.
You personally, though, right now, would you rather get at Houston or Tennessee at home?
Tennessee.
See, boy.
Tennessee, get that monkey off the back.
I think if you get at Houston, I realize because Houston is basically two road games. You know, you're playing in London. You can talk about it being a home game and all that and look, you're more familiar with the travel, but it's not the same as playing in Jacksonville, Florida. It just isn't.
Nope.
They've had some, you know, at times it's been better for them through some of the lean Gus Bradley years. They're actually more competitive over there. We'll go through it like everybody is not contractually, but seemingly contractually obligated to do the day after the schedule comes out. We'll go game by game. And today we ask you the question of the day here on Jaguars Today. Which quarter of the schedule is the toughest? And I'm not surprised at this, although I think I can make a case for at least three quarters of the season being the hardest. Okay? First quarter of the season, you got Kansas City at Houston, Tennessee and at Denver, which we talked about. Right now, that's going to run away with it. Okay? People are going to look at the Chiefs game right off the bat, and that's going to be pretty daunting in their eyes. Second quarter, not many people are going to think this is the toughest, although who knows, right? You go to Carolina. You got the Saints coming in. You expect them to be a very good football team. You go to Cincinnati, and they could be a 500 or better squad. And then you got the Jets coming in. Third quarter of the season, you've got three division games and three basic road trips. You're not home until you play Tampa Bay. You're not in Jacksonville until you play Tampa Bay. That could be why that's a daunting part of the schedule. You play Houston and London. You're at Indianapolis, at Tennessee. I mean, really, the division, you'll know by then whether you've got any chance to win the division. And then you play the Bucs here at home. And then the fourth quarter, you got the Chargers. As somebody pointed out on Twitter this morning, that trip to Oakland is the last game in that facility for
that's
the Raiders.
That's so stupid.
What,
from a league perspective.
That they do it in Week 15?
No, that they do it in Week 15 or that Oakland, like
is
those
playing
fans,
the Jaguars?
The Jacksonville Jaguars in their last home game.
But they want that Choice Ramsey Antonio Brown
matchup.
Oh, my
gosh, that's a joke.
National flex scheduling right there.
I mean, they play divisional games the last couple weeks, right? You couldn't figure out how to put Oakland at home against Denver or Kansas City week 17.
Maybe they're getting out early. Or maybe this, Tony. Maybe they think that team's not going to be very good and they're leaving, and they think that thing's going to be a ghost town in
and
December.
I looked at it. They play Jacksonville, their next to last home game. Their last two home games for the Oakland Raiders are Tennessee and Jacksonville.
Very exciting for Raider
fans.
Traditional
cow.
Rivalries renewed.
What the heck?
So you got the Chargers, you're at Oakland, then you're at Atlanta, who could be a very good team again, and then you got Indianapolis coming in. Who knows? You know what we take right now. One game winner take all versus Indy for the division title.
Let's do it.
Right now, baby.
I saw Tad Dickman tweeted this out. He had a whole string of facts about the schedule when it came out.
Who lets facts get in the
way of a
good
yesterday,
story?
But this is a good fact.
All right.
All right, this is a good fact. The Jacksonville Jaguars have never lost a home game in Week 17 of the NFL season. They are 6-0 Week 17 at home.
Is it that many? I know they haven't played that many.
They haven't played that many,
so
but they are
6-0.
So this
will be their 7th in 25
years. Yeah.
Well, you can look at that a number of ways, okay?
They haven't done it much.
One of them, they beat Indy and handed them Andrew Luck. So
it's true.
Don't know how much Indianapolis was trying at that point. You know, a pessimist would say Indy could have the division locked up in Week 17.
A pessimist
and
we'll
could keep say
that
streak
yes.
going and once again hurt our draft position heading into 2020. So we'll talk about that today. We will follow along the social media reports. Tony and I are going to stay right here with you as the State of the Franchise press conference gets underway in about 8 minutes. And if we can bring you, turn around some of that audio and bring it to you later in the show, some of the highlights from that, we will do that. Find out there's some new amenities planned, what the plans are for Lot J. I think that will be discussed today, where things stand in terms of the growth of revenue or the non-growth of revenue. I don't know, you know, ticket sales, all that, and the continued emphasis on hoping at some point in the near future to kind of turn the page on a brand new downtown for the city of Jacksonville with the Jaguars being a big part of that. I think you'll hear all those things discussed today by Mark Lamping and company. I expect that the owner is in the building is my guess.
I would guess so,
by
yes.
the way, Shot Father, okay? Look, I get it at this point. I'm a little too old for you. I've given up the hope that you're going to adopt me. I mean, I'm still open to it, but could I maybe borrow the copter, Tony, because I'm about tired of getting to Phillips and Southside and all that and just going into the parking lot for 40 minutes every morning to get through the next three exits or so. It's unbelievable. So if Shotfather could lend me the Hilo, maybe that would make my commute a little bit easier. That would work for me. All right, 641-1010 if you want to get in today. The question today, which quarter of the Jaguars' 2019 schedule looks the toughest to you on paper or on the screen or however you're looking at it, however you're viewing it, you can vote. We put it in a poll on Twitter, and we left it open-ended on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, 641-1010 on the phone lines or the text line driven by Duval Ford. Talking Jaguar football with you for the next 2 hours. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Oh, man. 1 week out, Tone. I'll be heading to Nashville from today. Probably you and D-Rock on this Thursday. I'll be happy to check in with you from the airport.
Yep.
Where I'll be heading up for the draft, doing some shows for SiriusXM. I'll be checking in throughout the afternoon as well. You can hear me on XL Primetime and the Frangie Show and all that good stuff on Thursday and Friday. But finally, mercifully, we're getting that close. I can stop seeing Juwan Taylor mock to the Jags. Maybe he's the pick, and if he is, welcome to Jacksonville, Juwan Taylor. I don't know. I'm just tired of seeing it over and over and over again.
No, I'm right there with you. Yeah.
Let's get
every mock draft that comes out, it's Juwan Taylor. We're in the Taylor vortex and have been for a while now.
Did you see this? I thought it was interesting. Andre Dillard, who we talked up a little bit the other day because ESPN did a kind of a weird thing. Their analytics people somehow came up with a formula that ranks who are the most likely Pro Bowlers in the first 3 years of their career and who are basically the safest guys, the likely solid starters in the first 3 years of their career. Andre Dillard, I think, was fourth overall in the Pro Bowl aspect of it. Over 50% chance, they said, that he'll be a Pro Bowl left tackle. and 92% chance he'll be a solid starter, which was the highest of any player available in the draft.
Yes.
How long are his arms compared to Jonah Williams?
They're about the same, weren't they?
They're an eighth of an inch shorter. Well, I mean, seriously, right? And of course, Chad Kuhn brought that to my attention. That was being discussed by some draft analysts on Twitter. And Chad is a Jonah Williams true believer with the seventh pick. And we told you he's our most frequent respondent on social media in terms of he'll throw you a full seven-round mock draft that he's done himself for the Jags, and he'll do it daily. Okay, but
right.
And I appreciate the enthusiasm. Don't get me wrong, but I was kind of coming out of Tuesday's show thinking, has this been hiding in plain sight the whole time? This Andre Dillard, right? Where bring him in, and he's not renowned for his run blocking, but left tackle, protect the quarterback's blind spot. We've got a right-handed quarterback. That's certainly his blind spot. There's nothing wrong. Look, Lane Johnson's played right tackle for the Eagles. That's because they had Jason Peters on the left side.
Yes, they did.
Who was a phenomenal multi-time Pro Bowler. So, I've just been wondering, has that been hiding in plain sight? And then I see, he's got Tyrannosaurus Rex arms, apparently. I just don't know what to make of any of this, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what does arm size really mean.
No, no.
For an offense, I would guess longer arms is helpful.
You want to be able to reach that guy before he can get his hands into your body. That's what it comes down to, right?
But I would guess if you have good technique that you can overcome those things, and clearly that's part of the reason Jonah Williams is talked about as a first-round prospect is because he's overcome. Whatever those shortcomings are, he's been able to overcome them, and he's been able to overcome them while he's playing in SEC football, right? I think the Dillard one, I don't watch offensive line tape. The Dillard one is, he's a really athletic guy.
Great feet,
they talk about. He's also playing in an offense where, what are you going to learn about an offensive lineman playing in the Washington State offense with Leach running what he wants to run up there? I mean, and I've heard that talk about him too. It's, how much do you know about how he projects? A lot of it is just pure, we're really projecting on this guy because of the athlete we see, is the way that they talk about Dillard. And I wouldn't have some big issue with them drafting Dillard. It's their job to identify who is the best player.
Sure.
That's their job. I'm not evaluating offensive linemen. I'm not really evaluating any of these guys. I know fans are going to cringe when I say it. At some point, you have to trust them to make the right choice. And if they don't make the right choice, they're all going to lose their job.
Well, here's the thing. You don't have to trust them. There's nothing you could do about it.
No.
Because we can sit here and we do.
No, you're right. You don't have to trust them. You just know that whatever you think about a player doesn't matter.
Correct.
It has no impact on what they're going to do or what you wish they would do. None of it matters in the end. They're going to make the choice they want to make.
And every team that ever makes a choice at any point in time, for the most part, I'm sure there are exceptions. I've heard stories of days of yore, but in today's analytical world, I'm sure they could cite you chapter and verse on why they made every pick that they made.
Absolutely.
Just about, right? Certainly the early picks, first three rounds. You start getting into taking a flyer, taking some hunch shots on guys in the sixth and seventh round, that's a different story. But I'm sure, it doesn't mean they're right, but I'm sure there was a reason that Luke Jokel ended up here instead of Lane Johnson, right? And that seemed to, at that time, was the right move in their mind. Obviously, turned out to be the wrong move in their mind, but I'm sure they could have sat you down and said, here's why.
Sure.
And we'll go through, this is what we like compared to this guy. And if you had the time and the wherewithal and the access to sit there in a film room, you might even come away convinced that, that's pretty good.
Who knows if Philadelphia was convinced of the same thing and Luke Jokel was gone.
That's right. You don't know.
You don't know.
Sometimes teams get lucky, right? And now that another team makes the mistake for them and kind of takes it away from their opportunity to screw up. I'm watching. I think this is live over my shoulder right now.
Yes.
Looks like Brian Sexton talking to Jaguars president Mark Lamping pre-address today. It said 10:20. This is certainly not Coughlin time. The State of the Franchise press conference is going to be running on. I call it a press conference. It's really a presentation. And then as they do in years past, as they will do today, you would imagine Mark Lamping, Tom Coughlin, and possibly Dave Caldwell, the different members, Shad Khan, maybe Coughlin, maybe Lamping, something like that, will all split up, and gaggles of reporters will flock to them and kind of rotate through, and That'll be that, and it'll be over with. Hayes Carline from the Franchi Show in the afternoons here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Jaguars embedded reporter from 1010XL tells me that his plan, he's going to stay for the press conference, and depending on how long it runs, sometimes these things run over an hour, right? Stay for the presentation. Try to get a few words from Tom Coughlin, and if he can, make it down here before the end of the show to give us some of the highlights of what's going on. But really nothing jumping out at this point in time so far. Really not underway, just some of the preliminaries going on. A couple of interesting, fun things here I got for you. Kyler Murray, did you see this on PFT? If Kyler Murray is the first overall selection in the draft, he'll be the fifth Oklahoma player to go number one overall.
Okay.
Which will equal the record for any school. Three other schools have had five number one overall players. Care to guess which three? I don't think you'll get one of them.
Yeah, I don't know. Ohio State?
Not Ohio State. I'll give you two more guesses. Just see if you can get anybody. Think traditional football powers.
Sure. Miami?
Nope.
I don't know.
All right. USC.
Okay.
Okay. They had Carson Palmer, Keyshawn Johnson, Ricky Bell, O.J. Simpson, and Ron Yeary, the offensive lineman going back to 1968. But that's a pretty modern spread of players,
sure,
right? Over the last
course of 50 years.
Right. Up to 2003, the most recent one, Carson Palmer. Tony Boselli should have maybe been the number one overall.
Probably
should have been, right? But he wasn't. Notre Dame, but I will forgive you for not remembering any of them. Walt Podolsky in 1972. Good old Walt's the most recent one from Notre Dame. Paul Hornung, Leon Hart, Frank Danowitz, and Angelo Bartelli going all the way back to 1944. How about the Auburn Tigers with five guys? Cam Newton, the most recent in 2011. Andre Bruce in 1988. Bo Jackson in 86. Tucker Fredrickson in 65 and Ken Rice back in 61. You would have back-to-back years for the Sooners with Mayfield going last year.
Yep.
Sam Bradford in 2010. So that's a lot of recent vintage number one overall quarterbacks potentially. Mm-hmm. That's if Kyler Murray goes number one overall. Billy Sims in 1980 and Leroy Selman back in 76.
Okay.
So, you know, this is kind of an odd little statistical category. I was surprised to see Auburn in there. I would have guessed for a while, probably before I came upon the Auburn Tigers in my mind. Are you feeling, what's the percentage chance right now you put Kyler Murray going number one overall?
The 70-30, somewhere in there.
I think it's higher.
Yeah.
I just don't, I mean, I don't, here's what I don't understand. The idea that we're going to drive a market for the number one pick by showing interest in Kyler Murray. Well, if you love Kyler Murray, isn't it going to make me skeptical as a GM why you'd be willing to trade out of that spot?
I guess.
Right. I mean, I guess you can make the argument, well, if you blow us away, we'd consider it.
Right. Like draft time, I mean, this is what it does. It gets you if you really sit down and really think about what every team is trying to do and all the like permutations of everything that they're saying or doing, what they could all mean, I mean, you could drive yourself batty. Like, you really could. Like, because it means whatever it means, and we're working without the information we need to know, right? And that's not to say that other teams aren't working with that same blindfold to some degree about what the actual interests are of the team that they're talking to. You can't possibly know for sure what they want to do. Yeah, I think Kyler Murray's likely going to be the number one overall pick.
You see the Cardinals put out their schedule release hype video with no mention of Josh Rosen whatsoever.
Okay.
I mean, you know, like, can't
what a weird spot for the organization.
Right?
Like, they spent a first-round pick on the guy last year.
They traded up in the first round to get him.
So
they spent multiple picks, including a first-rounder, to get Josh Rosen. And here they are. And I get it. You know, you got a new coach. You want that coach who's an offensive-minded guy. You hired him. He was unsuccessful as a win-loss guy, but you hired him because you think his offensive concepts can work in today's National Football League. Well, if that's the case, I think you should let him have a great say in picking the signal caller that best fits his system. So I understand if they do go the Kyler Murray route, it is just a weird spot to be in. Could you imagine the Jags putting something out and not using Nick Foles prominently front and center?
No.
Of course not. Or, you know, the year after Blake Bortles, even after Blake Bortles had a rough rookie season, Could you imagine the next year they wouldn't put him in the hype video?
No.
No, of course you couldn't imagine that. I mean, now certainly there's a lot more drama and narrative behind what the Cardinals might do at quarterback, and that wasn't there in year two, going into year two of Blake. Certainly nowhere, maybe a tiny fraction.
Was he in the hype video going into the 2017 season, coming off that miserable 2016 campaign? I'm guessing he was.
I'm sure I would think. He's your quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you not show, like, do they selectively edit out the ball coming out of Rosen's hand when they show Larry Fitzgerald making a big play? I guess they do,
yeah.
Right? That seems to be the way they ended up going. All right, we'll come back. Let's roll through the schedule because it's, as I said, nearly obligatory. We'll see what's coming out on social media, leaking out on the state of the franchise. Going on right now, the presentation with the Jaguar president Mark Lamping, I believe, at the podium. It's finally underway.
Yeah, they're doing like a 25th anniversary deal right now.
Yeah, so we'll get to they're looking back. There's a young TC, a youngish TC. I remember thinking Tom Coughlin looked old when they hired him, right? Yeah, like, I was a lot younger myself. Now I'm like, look pretty good when they hired him, actually. Oh, man, I'll remember the day when somebody says, I used to look young. All right, we'll come back. We'll go game by game. Written in stone, this is exactly what's going to happen, as if we know, on April 18th, on this particular Thursday. But we'll do it nonetheless because it seems obligatory. So we'll get to that coming up. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars Today. We're live at the bank on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at TIAA Bank Field, this is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
That's where we are today until the storm of the century wipes us off the map tomorrow.
What was that the deal? Some.
That's a big one coming, apparently. I don't know. I think it's later in the day, hopefully. Like to get home and then worry, let somebody else worry about it out on the roadways. Not me. Be careful tomorrow if that's the case. Mike DiRocco, I've heard of him. He's the guy who brings donut holes to the morning show, right?
He is that guy.
That guy. Jaguars owner Shad Khan says DiRocco on Twitter, at ESPN DiRocco. Jaguars owner Shad Khan kicks off the State of the Franchise presentation by thanking fans and saying, quote, 25 years from now, we're still going to be here bigger and better. Well, that's a good way to lead out, right? I mean, and I'm sure the conspiracy theorists out there, what few remain, I don't know how many remain on the First Coast, but there are, trust me, they're still around. They're all around the country. There's certainly a bunch of them in Europe, and they will somehow construe that to mean Shad Khan's just lying to your face, and he has no intention of being here for 25 more minutes, never mind 25 more years. They unveiled the 25th anniversary logo.
Yeah, I like it.
It's all right.
Yeah.
It's it's got the Jaguar head logo, the new one. It's got the skyline kind of done in black behind it, and then with a big white 25 kind of behind the skyline, and it's all put together in the shape of a shield. You'll see it out there if you haven't already.
Absolutely, yeah.
It'll be everywhere. I would imagine they'll wear it on their uniforms this year, right? Wouldn't there be some kind
of
25th anniversary patch? How important is that game against Carolina to show them 2.5 decades in, baby? We're the franchise on the rise.
Yeah, all these people that were doing all their articles here in the last 24 hours since the schedule came out about, you know, the big marquee games, like historic games on the schedule. How are y'all not pointing out Jacksonville and Carolina going head-to-head in a regular season game, both in their 25th
years? I think it honestly is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's pretty neat that it just worked out that way.
It worked out that way. They didn't schedule it particularly. It happened to be the year the South Divisions played against each other.
Look, I'm not saying it's Green Bay and Chicago opening up the season, but it's kind of cool. Two teams both celebrating their silver anniversary in the league playing each
other. Would have been cool if Boselli had been in the Hall of Fame, 25th anniversary season. You could have played in the Hall of Fame game potentially. You want to really turn back the clock 25 years here now. But, Carolina and Jacksonville, people forget, or some do, Carolina also made it to the championship game in their second season.
They did.
In the NFC. And since then have had a league MVP in Cam Newton, who took them to the Super Bowl. Of course, they lost it, but that's a further step than the Jags have ever made. Jags have been to three AFC title games. I guess the Panthers, what, is it only two? No, they had the other Super Bowl. They lost to the Patriots.
Yes.
So they've been to a couple Super Bowls.
Yep.
So overall, I got to say their franchise has had a little bit more success.
A little bit more.
Just advanced a little bit further than the Jags have at this point in time. It's tough. All the tweets are coming out. Shad Khan's been talking about how the franchise has upgraded itself this offseason, including Nick Foles, the signing. Let's see, this one from Lauren Brooks. Owner Shad Khan up first. Loves Jacksonville. Excited to celebrate 25 years of the franchise. And that he said it was a great time to be a Jaguar fan.
Tom Coughlin speaking right now. Mark Lamping just stepped to the podium, too. Tom Coughlin, though, one of his comments here, because it's been a story this week with them reporting for the OTAs. The quote, "We're very close to 100% attendance for voluntary workouts, and quite frankly, everyone should be here." Which, all right, DC putting it out there.
Hey, look, that's his prerogative to say
sure.
that. But, you know, I mean, if I were an NFLPA rep, I would maybe say, is that walking a toe over the line, right? I mean, it is voluntary, after all. They've been bargained for. You know, and I get it. Look, they all feel that way, right? There's not a coach or front office person in the league that doesn't think they all should be there.
No doubt.
But generally, they say, we'd like them to be here, but it is voluntary, and, you know, as long as they communicate. That's the thing, Tone. The other day, I didn't get a chance to weigh in on this. I don't know if you and D-Rock I know you did, as a matter of fact, talk about it yesterday because I happened to catch a little bit of the show. I was on assignment.
Mm-hmm.
But Telvin Smith, it's not the fact that Telvin Smith's not here. It's the fact that there really hasn't been any communication, it seems like, between Jalen Ramsey, Telvin Smith, and the team as to what their plans were, right? And that's what coaches will tell you. That drives them crazy more than anything. It's not the absence as much as it is the lack of knowledge, just the getting caught unawares. Look, I don't think anybody expected Jalen Ramsey to be here for the voluntary portion of the offseason, but still, confirm with the coach. Text him. Pick up the phone. Give him a call. Hey, coach, just so you know, don't expect me here. Here's why. I'm working out wherever. I'm working out in Nashville. I'm working out wherever I'm working out, or whatever other reasons you may have for not being here. I know Calais Campbell said, look, I know these guys. They're going to be fine. They're hard workers, all that stuff. But I just know that stuff does not sit well with the coaching staff and the front office. No matter what they'll say publicly about it or how strongly they'll talk about it, that's pretty strong. When Tom Coughlin says, quite frankly, all of our players should be here, and you'd like them to be here. There's no question about it. But, you know, I'm not going to beat them over the head for not being here for a voluntary thing. I am going to criticize them for not just communicating it. It's
just
your prerogative
people know.
Not to be here.
Yeah. You just got to let them know. It is a job. Look, it's a voluntary portion of this offseason. So, look, I'm right there with you. I'm not mad at Jalen Ramsey or Telvin Smith for not being here for the voluntary portion of an offseason. It does raise some eyebrows when the head coach is standing at a podium being asked about it and saying, well, I reached out, I haven't heard back. I don't know why.
That's almost even worse. Like, okay, I didn't hear from them, but I reached out.
Yeah.
Haven't heard yet.
Yeah.
Be proactive.
Just let them know.
Right. Take care of business. Don't let him get caught unawares, and don't put him in that situation where he has to, you know, if he can steps up to the microphone and say, look, we knew this all along. Jalen and Telvin, they have their plan. Would we like him to be here? Absolutely. We know that when they do show up for mandatory minicamp or whatever, they're going to be in great shape and ready to go, and they communicated this with us. It's just a lot easier foot to get off on, I think. All kinds of announcements and, you know, artist renderings come when Mark Lamping comes, so we'll see what they're.
That's kind of cool. Mark Lamping just said that the Jags versus Patriots game last year, the home opener, was the single highest game ticket revenue in franchise history, including the playoffs.
Wow! Now you got to figure. Wow!
They got all those
playoffs.
The new amenities and stuff that are in there too.
Right, because that's one thing, Tony. Even when they weren't selling out everything, they were selling out the premium stuff, right? Because the premium stuff, people said, "Hey, wow, that's a great value." And they found a way to not raise ticket prices for the most part over the last 6-7 years. I'm not saying that no ticket. I know some ticket prices have certainly gone up this year. But for the most part, keep things relatively flat on the general seating tickets while the premium seats added amenities and increased their local revenue that way. Apparently, local revenue is up 11% since Shad Khan bought the team. I don't know what their target, you know, doesn't it make you wonder what the target was for?
Sure.
Like, here's where we are today. By 2019, I want to be up 25%. I mean, is it like, hey, it's up. That's good. It's positive that it's heading in that direction. Is it moving too incrementally? Is it too slow? Don't know.
Not sure. I do know another quote here coming from Mark Lamping saying, from a commercial perspective, we're stronger than we've ever been. So, look, I think they did get a bump last year with the success of 2017 and going to an AFC championship game going into 2018, and they're getting to do a presentation about what that bump meant and what it looked like for the franchise last year. Can they sustain that given how 2018 worked out and going into a season where I think there's a whole lot more people just kind of waiting to see a little bit more with this Jaguars team, certainly than there was last year at this time of year.
Right. All right. One more. This is a longer quote from Shad Khan. Some of this we've already talked about from Tad Dickman on Twitter. I can never say this enough. Thank you, Jacksonville. This is from Shad Khan. My time here has been wonderful, and that's because of the people and with the continued support of our fans and partners, combined with realizing our vision for our downtown. 25 years from now, here we will be. Well, that, you can read into that a lot of ways, right? Like, combined with realizing our vision for downtown. That's a big part for them. I know Mark Lamping, one of his issues is that a decade ago, the town center was there was no town center, right? And like all this sprung up, and this is what downtown should be, like all the things springing up around there.
Sure,
we're missing the boat by bringing that revenue to the downtown and creating a more vibrant area for the team, and you know, kind of that symbiotic relationship. So anyway, we'll continue to bring you some of the quotes from the State of the Franchise press conference, shall we, Tony? Go game by game, just for fun.
Yeah, we can
just
do
for
it.
Funsies here. I have not prepared. I'm going to go off my gut because I have not prepared.
Neither have I
anything here. Not that it matters. For goodness sakes, it's April 18th. Kansas City coming in week one. Let's put some stakes on this, though, right? Because we could easily. I can envision a scenario where the Jags beat the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Really could, right? But yeah, I'm going to go with Kansas City winning this.
Okay.
What would the stakes be here if your left pinky depended on it? Left pinky, trying to think, is pretty important to the golf.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd want to give up a finger.
What about just like a nub on your finger, like Ronnie Lott? Ronnie Lott didn't cut off his finger.
No.
He just cut off a little nub on the end.
No.
Too much?
Yeah, I think it's too much.
All right, too much on April 18th. All right, at Houston, week two.
Loss.
Yeah, me too. 0-2. D-Rock had him going 0-3. I'm going to say they beat Tennessee. It's not like Tennessee is light years better than them. And it is a home game, and I get it's prime time. Do you have them at 0-3?
I don't want to.
That's fine. Just tell me what your gut says.
My gut says loss.
All right, you're 0-3.
I am.
Is the season over? If you're 0-3? I mean, clearly, the Colts started 1-5 last year.
It's in serious jeopardy.
It's
yes.
Teetering on the brink.
Yes.
It's a little disrespectful.
Well, prove us wrong. Go to Denver in week four. What you got?
Loss.
You're 0-4.
Yep.
Season's over.
It's, yeah.
You're done.
I am.
You got no chance.
I know. I don't like being this guy, but this was my reaction when I saw the schedule.
Stadium is empty. If they ever make it back into town, which they will against New Orleans in week six. See, I have a hard time going game by game here because I would take at Denver, at Carolina, and I'd split them 1-1.
Yeah, I got them winning Carolina.
All right, so I'll say they beat Denver, and then they lose to Carolina. Mm-hmm. I think those are similar kind of teams. You know, middle of the pack-ish in their conference. Depends on health, obviously.
Sure.
Quarterback play. I could see them beating Denver. I don't think Joe Flacco is much anymore. You know, it's a road trip, but – boy, you're going to find – if under your scenario, you're 0-3 and you go to Denver and can't come up with a way to win that football game, that is desperate times, man.
It certainly is.
So I'll say they beat Denver, lose to Carolina. I've got them 2-3. You've got them 1-4.
1-4.
New Orleans Saints coming to town.
Loss.
Me too. I mean, I'll be honest. I'm just going to – Saints, Chargers, and the Chiefs are the best three teams they play on paper, mm-hmm. in my opinion. And I'm on paper, I'm not going to pick them to win any of those games. Can they win these games? Of course they can. You know?
Absolutely.
Go back to whatever it was, 2010. I use this as an example a lot. You went through that schedule, the road game against Dallas that year. You're like, there's no way. That was the toughest game on the schedule, and they blitzed Dallas out of the building, right?
Yeah.
So whatever we say has no bearing. So I've got them at 2-4. You're at 1-5 now.
I'm at 1-5.
Senator, we're going to get on a Colts-like run, I hope, here at Cincinnati.
When?
I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to go Cincinnati and the Jets. I'm going to go split on them. Okay.
I think they win both.
All right. So I've got them with 3 wins at that point. You've got them with 2. Right?
I got them with 3 now.
Oh, with 3.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Carolina.
Yep.
All right. Let me see. I had Tennessee at a split and a split. I think we're both at 3.
Yep.
At this point. Houston and London.
Win.
Yeah, win. I don't think Houston's so great that they're just going to smash Jacksonville twice. And if you give them the road game, you know, give the Texans the home game, we'll take the Jags in London. That. So we got 4 wins apiece through week 9. Come out of the bye, go to Indianapolis.
Loss.
That's what I got as well. At Tennessee.
Loss.
I got loss as well because if I gave them the home win, I'm not going to give them with the sweep over Tennessee. They have not earned that right. We're on 4 wins right now.
Yeah.
Through 12 weeks. Tampa Bay at home.
Win.
W. Bring it, James. We're eating the W this time. Okay. We're at 5 wins. Chargers at home.
Loss.
Gus Bradley's triumphant return. Loss.
Loss.
5 wins through week 14. At Oakland.
This one's tough. This one's tough for me, and it's not the whole it's their final home game thing. It's the Jaguars don't win on the West Coast.
Like at this point, they'd be 5-8 with no playoff hope, right? They'd be toast in the playoff hope. Raiders, final game. Is it Oakland Alameda Coliseum? Is that still what they call it?
I don't
out
even
there?
Know.
The black hole?
Yeah.
I'm going to say they win the game.
I think they lose it.
I'm going to say they win the game because I'm going to say that by that point, the Raiders season's going to be in the dumper as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I've got them at 6. You've
got
them
at
5. At Atlanta?
Loss.
Loss. Indy at home?
Win.
Me too. Win for a variety of circumstances there.
And I really hadn't gone through this exercise. Like
I hadn't either.
I had not done win-loss just going through it. In my head, I looked at the schedule and I said, 6-10, 7-9.
That you came up with 6-10. I came up with 7-9. And it all comes down to that Thursday night game against Tennessee, it sounds
right.
like.
Right. Like, I think that first month is vitally important for them.
Oh,
I really do.
But, boy.
If they can find a way to come out of it 2-2,
Tone,
now we're rolling.
If they're 0-4, honestly,
I
think if they're 0-4, I think they're going 4-12. Because I think the wheels could start to come off, the finger pointing can come back, all kind, you know, any issues, any cracks in the facade will be exacerbated. Nick Foles will be going, what the hell did I get into? I don't know. 0-4, I cannot abide.
Beat Kansas City, and I completely changed the way I feel about
everything. Beat Kansas City, right, and they go 11-5.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Now we have a few months. Like, I promise to be a
None
whole lot more
matters.
Cheery than this. About different things with Jaguars football going forward. But, yeah, that's my gut reaction to that schedule.
All right, we'll come back. This State in Football, the Roll and Reach Roll around the National Football League. More selected quotes from the State of the Franchise presentation going on right now here at TIAA Bank Field. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, let's take a look at what happened on this date in football history. I got a slew of birthdays, but first, 1995, quarterback Joe Montana stepped to his own podium and announced he was retiring from the game of football. Honestly, I don't know if he stepped to a podium or not. It was the offseason, but he did announce on this date in 1995 that he was retiring from the National Football League. Birthdays for this date, some great players and some Jaguars past and present.
Okay.
Not much overlap. Okay.
All right.
You got Wilbur Marshall. Some consider him the greatest Gator, certainly the greatest Gator defensive player. Born in the state in 1962, 57 years old today. NFL linebacker for a number of years, the 11th overall pick in 1984 by the Bears. 3-time Pro Bowler, 2-time first-team All-Pro, 2-time Super Bowl champ, one with the Bears, one with the Redskins. For Wilbur Marshall, it's a pretty good start.
Yep.
Follow up in 1970, happy 49th to Willie Rofe. NFL tackle was the 8th overall pick in the 1993 NFL draft. How many Pro Bowls for Willie?
I'll go 8.
11.
Woo,
11
boy.
And 4. 11, 4 being the All-Pro appearances. Hall of Fame inductee in 2012. I don't have any fancy stats for Willie Rolfe because he's a big, fat offensive lineman.
Sure.
Let's see. Derrick Brooks, born in the state 3 years later, 1973. How many Pro Bowls for Derrick Brooks?
I'll go 8.
How about 11? 11 and 5. Five first-team All-Pro appearances. He was the 28th pick of the 1995 NFL Draft, the year 2000 Walter Payton Man of the Year Award recipient. In 2002, he was the NFL Defensive Player of the Year and a Hall of Fame inductee himself in 2014. Remember Big Red Bryant? He's going to play the big end, Tony, and Gus Bradley's scheme. Came in here, and he did start all 16 games for the Jaguars. In 2014, Red Bryant, born in the state in 1984, is 35 years old. Former Jaguar first-round pick Eugene Monroe, born in the state in 1987. Eugene Monroe is only 32 years old. Been out of the league for a while. He's all into legalized pot, you know, pushing that agenda. And that's fine. I'm not saying it in a negative way. But he is a proponent of that and the healing benefits of cannabis. He was the 8th overall pick of the Jags in 2009, 8th overall pick in the NFL, but by the Jags, and started 62 games in parts of 5 seasons with Jacksonville. Hayes Pollard, he's now with the Chargers, right? Gus Bradley's got him there. Hayes Pollard, 27 years old today. The former Jaguar linebacker started only 2 games for the Jags, but was a member of the team in 2015 and 2016. And happy 22nd, young buck. Ronnie Harrison's only 22 years old today.
Yeah.
Come on now. The third-round pick of the Jags last year took over the starting strong safety spot at the end of the season, and that is where he is penciled in for 219 and beyond. That's what I got for you on this date in football history.
Now, let's roll around the NFL with Roland Reich Plumbing, where quality and experience count.
Yeah, checking just to make sure. It appears Hayes Pollard may be a free agent right now. But
he has been with the Chargers.
He was with the Chargers, for sure. The AAF filed for bankruptcy yesterday in a Texas court. Based on the court filings, the league had total assets in the range of $11 million and liabilities of just over $48 million. So not doing so hot as a league. Bill Polian said that the main reason the league folded was due to high costs. Shocking. And said that he believes that there is only room for one professional football league. Good luck to the XFL.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Now he believes that?
That's what he said.
That sounds like sour grapes. And
that's what the man said.
Are you kidding me, Bill? Where was all this pie in the sky talk? Where did all that go? Oh, give me a break,
It
man.
Disappeared
I hope
with
these
that
guys, honestly.
$37 million dollar deficit they were
you
running.
You know, bankruptcy, I guess, is a useful tool, man, but
as long as everyone gets paid, it should be getting paid.
It's not even going to be close to it. They're creditors out. Way or their debtors, I don't know how you say it. The people they owe money to, they owe like 4 times as much money as they have assets, something like that.
Yes, they do.
Good luck getting paid anything.
Yeah. Russell Wilson at his first press conference at the Heat since he and Seattle had gotten his new 4-year extension done earlier this week. Russell said that the team agreeing to the no-trade clause in the extension is what finally got the deal done, saying, quote, "We talked about the idea of a no-trade clause just because we really wanted to be here. That was the thing we were really excited about, and that's kind of what sealed the deal for us." Not saying the money sealed the deal. The no-trade clause is what finally got it done for Russell Wilson. The New England Patriots' 6th Lombardi Trophy has a dent in it, courtesy of now-retired tight end Rob Gronkowski, who used the trophy to attempt a bunt on a pitch from teammate Julian Edelman that resulted in the trophy being damaged. The team has said that they may have the trophy repaired in the future, but for now, there is at least hope that it could be a permanent reminder and tribute to Gronk's final season as a member of the Pats, and what better way than to have a dent in the trophy permanently from Rob Gronkowski.
Just Gronk being Gronk?
I suppose. Dallas is picking up the 5th-year option on running back Ezekiel Elliott, according to team executive vice president Stephen Jones, and everyone is shocked.
Of course we are. Right. That's what he said. Of course we're picking it up. Are you crazy?
Yeah.
Because guess what? He's performed like a top-5 pick. As you pointed out the other day, Tony, who's had more off-the-field kind of that kind of issues? Ezekiel Elliott got suspended for a big chunk of time.
Yeah.
For his, I don't know, I'm not qualified to say what he did or didn't do in terms of domestic abuse.
A domestic incident.
The domestic incident that he was not ultimately charged for,
no,
but nevertheless suspended for by the National Football League. But nobody questions whether Ezekiel Elliott was worth a top-5 pick because he gets it done. Now, he gets it done behind a great offensive line, or has at times had a great offensive line in Dallas. But nevertheless, he's performed as expected or even above expected, I think, for
absolutely
the franchise.
Yeah.
So
Zeke is a fantastic running back. I mean, he is a difference maker for that team, and you would expect he would continue to be on the fourth and fifth year and whatever he's going to play for Dallas or whoever else beyond that. Yeah.
On Twitter, Max sends this in. Damn, both your schedule predictions suck for the team.
Agreed.
I know this is just your opinions. Mine too, he says. So there you go. But what the hell is the purpose of bringing Foles here if they won't even have a winning record, not even discussing playoffs or Super Bowl appearance? Well, look, as we were very observant to say multiple times, none of what we just said has any bearing on anything that happens.
No, and it's why I was more on board with the draft a quarterback and not sign Foles plan. Like, that was what I was more on board with from the start of this whole thing. I'm not mad at the Jags for taking their shot with Nick Foles, and we're discussing what that shot looks like on a day-by-day, week-by-week basis for this football team going forward. I didn't feel like they had a team that was put together to necessarily win big right now, which is why I was a proponent of cleaning house on the whole thing and moving a different – they didn't.
But you
it
know
doesn't
how that
mean
goes.
It can't work.
You know how that goes, though. They're right now – do you agree with me? I know you do because we've discussed this before, that Foles gave them the best chance in 2019.
Yes.
Right? No quarterback they could have drafted, no matter if they had their pick of all of them, Kyler Murray included.
Agreed.
None of them going to give them a better chance at Foles. Let's say Dwayne Haskins had come here, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say he's not ready. You had signed Tyrod or somebody to fill the gap because he's only
whoever
played one year.
Yeah.
You know, really shaky first season because that's the nature of seasons go. Who are you going to lose next year in attrition, potentially, right?
Well, I
you don't
it.
Know. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, and so by the time Haskins may be ready to ascend, how many other pieces are you having to replace? And did you replace those successfully? Did you hit on your draft picks? Did you continue to stock the cupboard with key free agent signings? Maybe, you know, it'd be great if we could know the future.
Right. Like, we went through the schedule there and I picked them at 6-10. I can tell you, I feel like in my gut, they're a lot closer to an 8-8 roster than they are 4-12 roster with Nick Foles, if that makes sense.
And that's why I have a 7-9.
Right. Like, I feel like they're closer to being better than they are worse than what I had them on that schedule. Like, I didn't give them a whole lot of wiggle room. You know, in games where I thought it could go either way, I generally went against them because that's what I most recently saw for the Jaguars. In games that it could have gone either way, they didn't make it happen. And really, in the past 5 years, that's been their history outside of one season.
Okay. If Foles had been the quarterback last year for the whole season instead of Blake, what do you think the record would have been?
Probably 9-7.
I'm like an 8-8.
Yeah.
Right? I think conservatively, 8-8, I think they win at least three more games, right? Now, you know, a lot of things can happen. Guys don't always perform to the same level you expect them to. What'd they lose? They lost Malik, right?
Yeah.
Lost, based on where they were at this point last year, both their starting safeties, right? Lost T.J. Yeldon. Okay. What else? And I'm not saying Jeremy Parnell.
Parnell.
He was just an average right tackle, but nevertheless.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you add Nick Foles, who we both think is at least a 3-4 game improvement, certainly based on last year's team,
over
right?
Over last year, yeah.
So you lose some of these other guys, but what are the odds you have the same run of luck, bad luck, on injuries on the offensive line? Probably not. This, I mean, it's possible, but it's more likely it's going to be somewhere in between 2017 and 2018. 2017, they lost very few man games. They get Marquise Lee back, right? Get a year of development from some of the young guys like Ronnie Harrison, who may be better than Barry Church, we hope. I'm just trying to show – I'm not spinning it. I'm showing you the formula how you could make a solid argument for then add a draft class and the foundation's going to be as good or better. Add Nick Foles, 1-5 last year, should expect him to be at least 500 this year, if not better. Yet, I run through the schedule, same as you.
Sure.
And that's – again,
look, and
that's
I don't
today.
Think there's I don't think there's anything wrong with whatever we just said that you should expect them to be 8-8 this year. I think that's what you should expect. They went out and paid Nick Foles with the idea of we think we're ready right now to get back into this thing. That's their expectation, certainly, is well beyond 8-8.
Right.
Would be my guess inside the building. So to put that expectation on them, I don't think is unreasonable. It's not the expectation I personally have.
Right. So you go back to the original question of Max on Twitter. He says, what the hell is the purpose of bringing Foles here if they won't even have a winning record? Well, the purpose is to have a winning record.
Yeah. they think
our
it helps them get a winning
of
record.
The schedule less than 24 hours after it was released and how it'll play out, not knowing what injuries will impact other teams,
nope.
Not knowing about all kinds of things, and no bearing whatsoever on it. It's just how I feel
today.
And
we all picked them about 6-10 going into 2017, too, if you want to take solace in that. So
probably so.
And we probably picked them 6-10 going, feels
maybe.
More like 4-12.
Right, that'd be the
maybe.
High watermark in recent years. All right, we'll take a time out here, come back, see what else we can dig up that's been coming out of the state of the franchise. Hayes Carline going to stop by in a little bit after he gets done with his duties, talking with Tom Coughlin and taking in all the presentation and give us his impressions from listening to it firsthand. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you, Jaguars today on 1010XL and on 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for my friends at Dandy Foods. Great.
Now, more Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I can never say this enough, but thank you, Jacksonville. My time here has been wonderful, rewarding, and a lot of fun. That's due to the people of Jacksonville, to me, your friends and family. And what this video is all about is the spirit and the determination of the community that believed in the early 90s that it belonged in the National Football League.
That's Shad Khan talking about the hype video, I guess you'd call it, the 25 years of Jaguar football that they presented at the State of the Franchise. If you want to go back and watch, you can go to jaguars.com. It'll be available. They're showing some renderings, Tony. My angle on this is not good. What are we seeing here? I'm seeing a hotel, office space, residential stuff.
I think
stuff.
It's, yeah.
This
I think,
is like the Shipyards project?
Yeah, this is across the street there when they get the overpass down, what they want to do with that area. Now he's showing, this is St. Louis that he's showing right there.
Right, some the what they did in St. Louis and what they're trying to hopefully mimic in the downtown area. Unfortunately, we've seen that for a while, right? Like, give me timetable. I want to know. When's it coming down? I've got a beautiful, if you go to my Twitter homepage, beautiful renderings of all that stuff on the other side of, Bay Street.
It's been, this is year three or four that we've been seeing some pictures of what they want to do with that area.
I see a hotel in Lot J. I see all this stuff.
Yeah.
Let's go to my own Twitter timeline. It's right there.
For things that may be a little bit closer to maybe some listeners' hearts out there listening to us, as opposed to this very broad idea of we want to improve things around the stadium, Mr. Lamping did mention that they want to do something. They said that they have to do something to improve the worst seats in the stadium, specifically talking about heat.
Yeah, like, shade. We know y'all want shade.
We know y'all want shade. We got to come up with a plan. We don't have one yet, is basically what he said.
So,
but they're at least more conscious of it than they've been in the past, talking about it a little bit.
Doesn't that seem like one – has that just been lower on the priority list because they thought that, you know what, let's really – these amenities that the in-stadium
stuff. They were doing the boards and the pools.
And all the different little areas, right? All the – like the those tables that you sit rail side and
clubs.
The on-the-field seating and all that had been big successes for them. So let's continue to push forward with that. And now I think they're seeing, you know what, we're hearing it from the rank and file that a lot of first-time season ticket holders buy inexpensive tickets oftentimes. And then if they don't have a great experience because they don't like what, you know, their arrangement is wherever they're sitting for whatever reason, heat being a big part of it, they're
hot.
Not renewing.
Yeah, it's hot.
It's desert hot.
Like, it gets real hot. Kansas City, it's going to be hot when
they're
here for Kansas
Hope
City.
Hope so.
Yeah.
Come on down for a barbecue.
Yeah.
We'll roast Patrick Mahomes on a spit. Just don't break him. I'll need him for the rest of the season.
Right.
Right? But just week one, I'll play Russell Wilson. It'll be fine, okay? All right. Let's hear a few more selected choice words from the owner and from the executive vice president of football operations, Mr. Tom Coughlin. Here is Shad Khan emphasizing 25 great years. We'll still be here in 25 more.
Here we are. Jacksonville honoring our 25th season, and with the continued support of our fans and partners, combined with the realization of our vision for downtown, 25 years from now, we're still going to be here bigger and better.
Well, A, it's subtle, but he doesn't say 25 great years for Jacksonville. Our, you know, he includes himself as part of the community, and that, you know, he's not a dummy, but that is the right way to do it. It's not like you guys have had a great 25-year run, and you know, me, you know, whatever. But no, he's like, we. So he's trying to, you know, kind of be a part of that. Me, I just like to be here in 25 years, you know, personally.
Sure.
Be here in 25 years. I'd like to see year 50. You'll finally get me off Jaguars today in year 50. Oh, knock on wood. I'll take that right now,
yeah,
baby.
No doubt. Someone on the text line, by the way, just texted us and said if they want shade, they should just listen to your predictions.
Well played.
That's text well line. Played there from
well
Matt
played.
On the text line. One more cut here from Shot Khan speaking at the State of the Franchise a few moments ago, saying the 25th anniversary logo, we mentioned it a little bit earlier as it was revealed officially today. And had the city skyline, the 25 behind it, as again, it's the 25th year of Jaguars football.
Is it?
It is. Shot Khan said that the city skyline on the 25th anniversary logo is there because Jacksonville is the Jaguars.
It's an awesome time to be a Jaguars fan. And celebrating our silver anniversary in the NFL, frankly, that few outside Jacksonville ever thought possible. And a lot of people who still don't believe it. But to anybody who doesn't believe, I'd like to point out that our 25th anniversary logo prominently features the city of Jacksonville skyline. The Jaguars happened here in Jacksonville. We believed that then, and we believe that now. And as you see, the team, the community were united. That's how it got done 25 years ago, and how we'll roll in the next 25 years and beyond.
All right, so there's some pretty positive, sunny stuff from Shot Khan.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy that controls the purse strings. He's the guy who could do whatever he wants, right? So that's who you want to have the sunny disposition about
right.
The Jaguars' future.
No doubt. And I often find myself wondering if it wasn't the NFL, right? Like if this was a major league city or NBA or one of these other sports where a guy like Shot Khan could take control of it, and how much you were willing to spend mattered more than it does in the NFL, where everyone kind of is working with the same pot. Not that resources and revenues don't matter, but then in the other sports, you can put those in, and if a guy's willing to spend more, he's going to get better players and better results. I've often wondered with a guy like Shot Khan, where would Jacksonville be? Like, if they were put in that kind of position, because Shot, I have the impression of how much does it cost to win? Do
right.
it.
Let's win.
Do it. Like, it's worth it. Whatever that cost is, it's worth it. It just happens to be the NFL where if he's willing to spend $200 million more dollars than anybody else, he's not allowed to.
I felt for a long time, Tony, that if you're rich enough to be a sports owner, your first priority should always be winning. Right?
Yep.
It shouldn't be the bottom line. It's probably why I'm not rich enough to be a sports owner, right? Sports team. I really am, right? I mean, because to me, I'm just like, that is my mentality. Like, I always thought Mark Cuban was a great owner, continues to be, because – he did things, even within a salary cap structure, he did things that made his franchise more attractive for the players. Shot has mimicked some of Mark Cuban's stuff. You
yeah.
know, just like you know, it's a little thing. But when players come in and visit as a free agent and see that locker room, they're like, wow, it's pretty slick, you know, by locker room standards. Everything's first class. Everything's brand new. Everything's nice, you know, and – oh, that's a bad one right there. That's a party foul on Dempsey's part. Had the phone ringer on. I'm with you. I think he would basically do what he had to win. Now, look, there are teams that try to do that in those sports that doesn't guarantee success.
No.
But, like in baseball, generally the higher revenue teams have a higher percentage chance of making the postseason.
Absolutely.
That's shown quite a bit. All right, let's now that we've had happy, happy, joy, joy, let's get a talking to.
Yes.
All right, Tom Coughlin talking about absences from the voluntary offseason program.
All our players should be here, building the concept of team, working hard side by side, constructing our bond of togetherness, formulating our collective priorities and goals. Success in the NFL demands struggle. Those who have everything given to them become lazy, selfish, and insensitive to the real values of team.
Okay.
There you go. Strong words from Tom Coughlin.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling they're going to continue right here as the...
To him, he's just... I think this is him being
reality.
Beside himself that he doesn't have 100% participation coming off a 5-win season.
It's the way it feels.
Right.
For Tom Coughlin as the next one here is titled, Many Try to Avoid Hard Work. Curious to see what this sounds like.
The hard work that many try to avoid is the major building block for the development of an outstanding football team. It's not about rights and privileges. It's about obligations and responsibility. And the question is, can we count on you?
Well, it's easy for you to say it's not about rights and privileges. They're not your rights and privileges, right? Why do we have a collective bargaining agreement, Tony, if Tom Coughlin could just say, we should just crumple that up and throw it out the window?
Whew.
This is what I demand. What are they? Play that one more time, E.T. I want to hear this again because I don't want to misquote it.
The hard work that many try to avoid is the major.
All right, right there.
Building.
That's enough. That's enough. How many are these many? How many are we talking about here? Right? I mean, is Jalen Ramsey, by the way, trying to avoid hard work?
I don't think so.
Is he not?
I'm guessing
working
he's working hard.
Is that who else is he talking about? Is he talking about people in general? This seems like a pretty pointed message. When he talks about this, it's not about rights and privileges. What is your right, your collectively bargained right, your fought for right in the system that we operate under?
Yeah.
I mean,
we saw the quote about, you know, two guys aren't here. That was when this whole thing was starting this morning on the State of the Front. That doesn't nearly do justice to how hard Tom actually went in on this. Like,
one
he
more.
Goes hard in on this thing. And we got one more here talking about championship teams are dominated by selfless players.
Championship teams are dominated by selfless individuals who recognize that the welfare of the team must always be paramount to any other consideration.
Now, this to me isn't necessarily
no.
just about Jalen and Telvin, right? This harkens back to selfishness, bad look, end of the, you know, all the,
sure.
the other stuff, you know, the hard work. How many times have you and I heard about things either very well sourced on certain players and more thinly sourced on others about particular guys not being diligent in their rehab, right? I'll give you Dante Fowler Jr.
Sure.
As one at a given time. Others, a bunch that I don't know. I'm not in these rehab sessions. I can't give you their full attendance record on them. But I think this is part of that as well. Like
yeah.
When he talks about the hard work, it's not just like, hey, Jalen and Telvin aren't here. I assume they're not working out, right? I think it's more to it than that. But I do think the rights and privileges thing
That's pretty pointed.
It's like, right. I mean,
yeah.
To me, honestly, you're borderline on a union grievance level right here, right? I mean, you're basically saying, I don't care what your rights are. This is what you're supposed to be doing. The NFL is not supposed to be allowed to coerce these guys or have any repercussions for these guys for missing anything that is voluntary.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it is voluntary. The NFL gets plenty of concessions in the collective bargaining agreement. You know what they – I think they'd give if you gave them guaranteed contracts, I bet you they'd have – take the voluntary off OTAs and they'd be here for all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Guarantee our contracts. You know, that's your right to cut us. Oh, wait, but should you not exercise that right? I mean, because it's all about team, right? See, I get where he's coming from. I really do. But I'm kind of pro-worker here, too. I'm not – I've said it a bunch of times. The only issue I have with Jalen and Telvin is not communicating their absence.
Absolutely.
That's it.
And honestly, it's not even like it's a surprise that Coughlin or anybody else within the leadership in the organization would feel that way about players that aren't here during the voluntary portion. It's saying it.
Stepping to the mic.
Right.
And bellowing.
Like putting it out there that, you know, here it is. This, not only do we all assume this is how he feels behind closed doors, because that's how I assumed he felt about it. That's been TC's, like, that's who he is. Right? I've heard Leon Searcy sharing the stories the last couple days about when he got signed here in Jacksonville and they had paid him all that money and he doesn't come in for OTAs and he's basically on the phone with Tom Coughlin every day and Tom's sitting there like, it's a bad look, Leon. He's like, we paid you all this money. Are you serious about this? Or what's the deal? Like, trying to put pressure on him to get him into the building. And Leon's trying to do his own thing, right? He works out of Miami. That's his routine.
You know who else did that? Fred Taylor.
Absolutely.
Anybody have an issue with Fred?
Absolutely. There have been players that have always done this kind of thing. If it's voluntary, they don't have to be here. You don't often hear it that strongly said
no.
by people in positions of power within NFL organizations. That's interesting stuff.
I suggest we adopt the term grit.
All right, we can do that. But that's a suggestion, not a command. Let's I'd love it if this weren't an issue, right? Who doesn't want all their players showing up voluntarily doing it. But at the same time, man, when people have rights and they exercise their rights, I don't think they should be afraid of repercussions. And look, it's not, again, it's not like Jalen and Telvin are sitting there eating a bunch of Little Debbie snack cakes on a couch somewhere. Quite sure they're going to show up in tip-top shape.
I would assume, yeah.
They're tip-top athletes, right? And, you know, is there a value to being here? I think there is a value to being here. But if it's that valuable, NFL, be willing to give something up in the next round of negotiations to the players to command the presence
Absolutely.
Of these guys in the offseason. Otherwise, you know,
deal with it.
Back off.
Yeah.
All right. We'll come back. We'll see if we get a Hayes Carline for a few minutes as things are breaking up with the State of the Franchise presentation today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, another segment to go on Jaguars today here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Duval Doom obviously following the State of the Franchise presentation. Mm-hmm. They're going to get rid of the reservoir? Where will that one random dude fish now? Reservoir, is that what it is? I call it a water retention pond. Isn't every pond a water retention pond, technically?
Technically.
Kinda, right?
The ocean's just a big water retention pond.
Oh, it's not a pond. It's a water retention ocean,
yeah.
That would be.
Okay.
A larger body of water, of course. Anyway, the renderings for the Lot J project, which would go in kind of right next to Daly's place if you're on the west side of the stadium by the Jaguar statue over there. The different things, they had have a hotel, what's called a live arena. I'm not sure, would that be like something to compete with the Veterans Memorial Arena? It doesn't look like it's big enough, that area. I might be wrong.
Well, if they're going to try to do something like they did in St. Louis, it would be a giant like sports bar type atmosphere.
Okay. All right.
But I didn't hear the presentation, so I'm not sure.
No, we didn't either. So we're going off artist renderings. An office park, a residential park, which is very interesting to me. I mean, you know, if you've got all these things down there, that's the idea. Like, Tony, this is an extreme example, but you go to Lambeau Field and you walk across the street and there's some guy's front yard. It's like, you know, it's just plopped right in the middle of a residential community. You go to a lot of places, like you go to Denver, go to the ballparks out in Denver. They're like, there's everything jammed right in there. When we went to Phoenix, downtown Phoenix, boom, there's the basketball arena. Now the football stadium's out in Glendale.
Yeah.
Different story. So you'd have that, and then the water, the pond, we'll call it, would be a parking area ultimately, and cost $500 million. But it takes money to make money, so Smarter people than I say.
Looks like fun.
Could be.
I was going to say, it's not my money. I don't
Will I live to see the completion of the project is the question. Mm. Well, either I'm going to die soon, or I suppose if I live another 25 years or more, it's either going to happen or it's not going to. Is it going to happen or maybe more catastrophic for the Jags long term than we think it would be at this point in time. So
who knows?
Let's just get it done.
25 more years.
I'll take 25 more years right now. Next month is the 30th anniversary of my dad passing away. I don't know if that's like the proper vernacular for it, but it'll be 30 years since my father died at the age of 59. So your boys had the clock ticking for a while. All right. So,
and I know Mark Lamping basically finished up the whole presentation by saying, somehow, against all odds, in 75 years, we're going to be celebrating 100 years of the Jags in Jacksonville. Like, that's how we closed it out today. And, all right, from your lips to God's ears, let's make it happen. Yeah.
Right. How many of us in the listening audience will be around to see it? I don't know. But be kind of cool. 25 years from now, it'd be kind of cool. You'd have the 125th anniversary of the league, 50th anniversary of the Jaguars, have all this. Remember those times they said we're going to move to London? Yeah. TaxSlayer Gator Bowl is going into its 75th year, and Rick Catlett announced today that they're outsourcing game operations to the Jaguars to increase the amount they can spend on teams coming here to increase ticket sales and put more money back into the community. So I guess is that a local revenue stream? I'm not quite sure how all that works. I'm not smart enough with the revenue stuff. It's why I'm a sports radio guy and not a financier or global businessman like Shad Khan. But, you know, like they showed a thing today during the presentation. The impact, just looking at the pie chart, like a, kind of a steady stream of upward growth, but very steady. And then some jumps in local revenue in the last couple of years due to Daly's Place. Okay, I get it that you own Daly's Place, but you also own Flexingate, right? We don't count that as local revenue, right? Like, how does I don't quite understand why a concert at Daly's Place gets to count on the bottom line for the Jaguars' local revenue. I'm glad that it does. I mean, whatever. Look, I don't care where they're pulling it from, within reason, as long as it keeps them stable.
They want to call it local revenue. God bless
call
them.
Whatever you right. Yeah. It's interesting to me. Like, huh? What does that really specifically have to do with the Jags? Other than you own it, I get it. But you own a lot of businesses, you know, and they don't all count towards your Jaguar revenue.
No, but I mean, they are selling tickets for, you know, concerts and stuff in the office right down
true.
The hall. They're not selling bumpers, you know, from the office
you're
down
right.
the hall.
That's a good point.
You know, it's all kind of in the same building with that.
I guess.
I don't know.
All right. So
I'm glad it does. Glad it counts.
What are your major takeaways from all this today?
TC is mad.
He's
like,
furious.
I knew he was mad, but TC is mad. And look, I can understand his frustration with the way last season went and the look of Week 17 with Yeldon and Fournette sitting over there on that sideline and going into an offseason where your head coach is saying how important it is, you know, we won 100%, all this kind of thing. I can understand why he'd be frustrated. Speaking it that clearly, I did not expect that from TC, even if that's how he felt, and I'm not surprised at all that that's how he felt about it. I'm a little bit surprised that he was willing to say it in that kind of way. And beyond that, interesting that Mark Lamping would note they had the biggest revenue, like local revenue for a game that they've ever had in Jaguars history last year with that week, the game against the New England Patriots.
In history.
And he also pointed
playoffs.
Out, yeah, including playoffs. And he also pointed out that that was good enough to be the 161st ranked game in the NFL last year from a local revenue perspective.
So, I mean, the bar, you can't ever worry about. You're never going to compete with the Dallas Cowboys.
No.
Anymore. You're just not.
You are what you are.
Right. You can make money. That's why the Dallas Cowboys don't come up for sale. Right? Because they're going to be handed down in the family, in the Jones family.
It would appear that's the case.
You would think, right? I mean, just and the value of that franchise is greater than any in the National Football League. It's one of the two or three greatest valued sports franchises in the world. And that's part of it. I mean, look, you maxed out. I want to say they maxed out. You can always get better, but you maxed out what you've been able to do so far. And that maxing out was 161st. That means 160 games around the NFL created more local revenue for their team last year.
You
look at that,
and
you're like,
wow.
I mean, because it's hard to replicate all the circumstances you had that brought the home opener, Patriots, revenge game, team coming off a huge season, all those things. And
yeah,
it's good enough for 161. In fact, I think I saw that the seven most lucrative games of Shad Khan's tenure all came last year, right?
Which makes sense.
Right. But that was coming off a run to the AFC title game.
It was.
8 minutes from the Super Bowl.
Yep.
What are you going to have?
Curious to see what it looks like this year.
I am too.
And the other big takeaway for me would be the shade thing. That at least they are very conscious of trying to do something about that for the fans. Because if we get any kind of, like, if there is a consistent complaint we get from people who go to the game, it's shade.
Number one.
And the next thing that we get is they got to figure out a way to get people in the stadium more easily. Because it's been, the last couple of years especially, it's been rough for people just trying to get into the gates. It's been a little bit ridiculous.
You mean the delay?
Yeah,
going
just trying to go through
the
line.
Of getting,
yeah.
You know,
and it's why they started doing the cat call. And all that stuff was to basically tell you 45 minutes before the game starts, you need to start heading to the gate because we know it's a nightmare.
Right.
As opposed to fixing the nightmare, they tell you to come get in line for the nightmare more quickly.
All right. No time for Hayes Carline today. He is, he had duties to attend to. It ran long as it typically does, but I'm sure you'll hear a lot more from what Tom Coughlin had to say when Hayes sits in with the Frank Frangie Show later on this afternoon. Right now, we will check in with XL Primetime.
Now, the 2-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Waiting in line is so 2018. App your way to the front of the line. Order Moe's online or in the app. Walk in, grab the food, and go.
All right, Matt Hayes on the other end. What's up, Matthew? How are you?
What's up, boys? You guys doing all right?
We are. Were you able to take in the state of the franchise press conference either in person or online today?
Online. Online. Okay. If you close your eyes and think real tight there, Mike, I almost hear Nick Saban on the other end of that with Tom Coughlin. Same exact narrative, same tone, same this is how we have to do it, period.
Are you surprised he went as far as he did? Like, I don't doubt that they all feel that way around the National Football League. They want 100% compliance in the offseason program. But, you know, when Tom says it's not about rights and privileges, well, that's easy to say when it's not your rights and privileges that are the ones being exercised. Jalen Ramsey and Telvin Smith had the right to not be here. This is a collectively bargained enterprise. And granted, they should communicate that absence ahead of time. I don't give them a pass on that. But, you know, I feel like Tom Coughlin's treading the line a little bit on how comfortable he's going to make the NFLPA in his comments today.
I don't disagree with one thing you said. I will, however, say this. Tom Coughlin is a coach. Tom Coughlin's won championships. Tom Coughlin realizes the best way to win championships is everybody's in the boat, everybody's rowing the same way, and that's what he wants.
Yeah, so Tom Brady being absent the entire offseason last year for the Patriots.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm not disagreeing. Right. I'm just telling you this is the way he thinks because he has won championships.
Oh, I don't – look, I get it. How thinking it and expressing it in the terms he did today, I think Tony and I were more surprised how sternly – he worded it
no
today.
Doubt. Right, I agree. Yeah, so. I agree.
All right, what do you got coming up today, Matthew?
Well, it's hot there in the stadium, apparently, on that west side. So,
if you're sitting in the upper deck, yes.
The question then becomes, what do you do, how much does it cost, and who pays for it?
Oh, who pays for it? Well, that's a good question.
Right,
I think that's a collaborative to me, you know? I mean, you're going to get the most benefit out of it if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right? If you put shade up there.
I would hope that it would be a, yes. I would hope in good faith it would be a collaborative effort. Yes, I would.
You would hope. All right. Matt, we'll be listening, man. Have a good show today, bud.
All right, guys.
Thank you. All right. Tommy Mack, I believe, tomorrow. Tony, getting closer next Tuesday, Media Mock Draft Day.
Yeah.
We'll cover the first 16 picks, starting with Arizona, who, latest I've heard out there, you said what, 70%? I said 90%. Talked to a guy out in Arizona that we both trust. He said about 80% chance he's confident it'll be Kyler Murray.
Split the baby on that one.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that's where I will be surprised at this point if it's not him.
I would be too.
You know?
Look, and I think it's funny. I was chuckling there because you mentioned we got the Media Mock Draft coming up next Tuesday. We got Tommy Mack coming in tomorrow. We got the draft luncheon on Monday here in the building with the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're a week away from the NFL draft. It feels like we've been talking about the same thing for 2.5 months now, and then all of a sudden we get schedule release, state of the franchise,
right. Boom, 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 boom.
Media with the luncheon on Monday.
Space it, mocked.
It's all coming right on top of us here in the span of about 5 days.
It's all right. You know
what?
All right. It's a build up right now, and it'll be fun. I love the draft itself. The draft is fantastic.
Oh, it's great.
We can all go and critique the picks. Yay, I like it. Yay. I love it. No, I hated it. Whatever. It's the same way every year. You never know till you see him on the field.
Nope.
And sometimes you don't even know in that rookie season what you're going to get out of these guys.
Hopefully that is true with our most recent first-round pick.
Particularly the first and second, for that matter. All right, that'll do it for us today. Back again tomorrow. So for Fat Tony, for E.T., for Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. Thank you, as always, for listening to Jaguars Today right here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Joe Jacksonville, let's go. Team!